About a year ago, we marked a world first. The WHO approved a vaccine for malaria, a disease that causes hundreds of thousands of deaths a year, most of them in young children and babies. It was an important milestone, but the vaccine was far from perfect. It's only about 40% effective, and it needs to be given in 4 doses across 18 months, which is a logistical challenge, especially in the remote areas where the toll of malaria is highest. Now a group from Oxford University is making headlines with a new vaccine it says provides better protection and is cheaper and easier to make. To talk through what this new vaccine can and can't do is malaria immunologist Michelle Boyle from QIMR Berghofer.
Malaria has been co-evolving with humans for forever, essentially. And so the parasite has developed lots of ways to escape how human bodies fight the disease. And a lot of those problems sort of fall over into vaccination as well. And so it's been really difficult to find the right target against this parasite. And also we're really blocked by these ways that the parasite can disrupt the immune response. And that makes it really tricky to develop vaccines that work in children who have already had a parasite infection.
But they've managed to do it, at least to a certain extent, because now we've got 2 vaccines that are showing a lot of promise there. So what have they been able to do that previous groups haven't?
The licensed malaria vaccine is relatively low protection. It only protects on a whole population level at about 40% at best. So this new vaccine from the Oxford group uses the same target as that licensed vaccine. We've identified one that is really important for how that parasite, after it comes from this mosquito, gets into the liver. That's the first stage of the parasite development in the human body. So that's the part of the parasite that's targeted, a protein that's involved in that liver stage infection. So both the licensed malaria vaccine and this new Oxford vaccine target that same part of the parasite, but this new Oxford vaccine has more of the target protein and less of other proteins in the vaccine.
Can we talk about what this Oxford vaccine actually requires in terms of rollout?
With the current data from this small trial, what they've shown is that you need to give 3 vaccines about 4 weeks apart, and then that protects for the next 6 months. But then with the next malaria season in the next year, they've given another booster dose. So at the moment, rolling out both that first dose strategy is difficult because those doses don't fit into, you know, the current childhood vaccination programs. And this is similar to the problems with the existing licensed malaria vaccine. And additionally, having to have a yearly booster is going to be really complicated because you have to have another program to get back in and vaccinate all your children again. And as we can see, even from COVID vaccines in a setting like Australia, it's really difficult to get boosters in arms of patients.
Are there other potential shortfalls of this study?
They've done this in an area of seasonal malaria transmission. So that means that there's a period of the year where there's lots of malaria, and for the other half of the year, there's very little malaria. So with this Oxford vaccine, although it's super promising, it's only been tested in a relatively small trial in one study site where it has this 2 seasons of malaria. So they've given the vaccine just before the malaria season, and it's shown really high efficacy. However, it's yet to be tested in a study site where there's malaria there all year round. So it's really difficult to know until we get more data how this vaccine's going to go in these areas where malaria is transmitted all year by mosquitoes.
And we're talking here about the form of malaria with the biggest global burden of disease, which is falciparum.
That's correct. The falciparum, like you said, is the biggest burden of disease. But there's other globally important malaria strains, particularly Plasmodium vivax, which causes a lot of disease burden in our neighbours in Southeast Asia. And these current vaccines don't target that parasite at all.
So this vaccine, even though it's really exciting, wouldn't really be useful in the Asia Pacific region?
It is useful in some areas in the Asian Pacific region where falciparum is really important, including Papua New Guinea and some parts of Indonesia.
Malaria cases number in the hundreds of millions of cases worldwide, and it carries a really high death toll, especially among young children. How long do you think it will be until we've got a really meaningful defence against it in terms of a vaccine?
Yeah, I mean, how long's a piece of string? I think we're all very excited about both the licensed vaccine and this new data from the Oxford group. But until we have the results from this big clinical study that the Oxford vaccine has, hopefully to see data towards the end of this year, it's really hard to know whether we're there yet or we still need to keep developing tools. But regardless, I think there's still quite some time before we have a very highly effective protective vaccine like we have for things like measles.
Surely an imperfect vaccine is still better than no vaccine at all, especially if it's combined with the other interventions that have already been pretty successful, like treated mosquito nets and other prophylactic interventions.
That's very true. That's why the community is so excited about the licensed vaccine, because the more tools we have that we can apply to these endemic settings, the more lives can be saved. And it was really clear from the modelling, even from these imperfect vaccines, that lots and lots of lives can be saved by the use of these new tools. So I think that that's another really great plus about this new Oxford vaccine, because it seems that it's probably easier to manufacture and easier cost-wise to have lots and lots of doses required for these malaria endemic settings. But I'm hesitant to say that it's the golden bullet until we get further studies out in different transmission settings.
As someone who's in this space looking at the horizon all the time, where do you see, where do you hope we're heading in terms of malaria in the coming, say, decade?
We definitely need to have new tools, because since 2015, there's been a real plateau in the reductions of malaria. And in the last 2 years, because of the COVID pandemic, these malaria cases have really shot up. And while I'd like to say that we can really wrap this up and have malaria eliminated within the next 10 years, I think that that is wildly optimistic and very unfeasible with the current tools that we have. So I think that applying new innovation and new strategies is going to be really important.
Yeah, wow, the fact that the cases are going up under the radar while the pandemic's going on, even with this new vaccine that was approved last year, that's a bit of an eye-opener really, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's really scary to see how quickly things can go bad. You know, the malaria control programs have done really, really great since the early 2000s, and there's been huge reductions between 2000 and 2015, and then just really no progress, and then really big increases in some areas, which just really shows how important it is to be constantly vigilant and how disruptive things like unplanned for pandemics can be.
Michelle, thanks so much for joining us.
No worries. Thanks for having me, Tegan.
Dr. Michelle Boyle studies human malaria immunology at QIMR Berghofer. And that's the Health Report done for another week.
We'll see you next week.
See you then.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.